I remember praying one time, and I prayed, Lord, help me to have a closer walk with you. And I walked right into the ministry. But it's not always that way. We can't have, all of us can have a closer walk with God. Amen.
Amen.
Today is Epiphany of the Lord Sunday. So I want to ask you, what's an epiphany? I had trouble writing this sermon because I didn't know what an epiphany was. Think about it. What's an epiphany? There was a young man that was living away from home, and he wrote a letter one time to his parents. And he said, Dear folks, I feel miserable because I have to keep writing and asking for money. I feel so ashamed and unhappy to have to ask you for another $100. Every cell in my body rebels against me asking you for money. But, folks, I beg on bended knee that you would forgive me. Love, your son Marvin. P.S. I felt so terrible that I ran after the mailman who picked up this letter at the box on the corner. I wanted to take this letter and I wanted to burn it. And I prayed that I could get it back, but I was too late. A few days later, Marvin received this letter in the mail from his father. It said, Dear son, your prayers were answered. Your letter never came. Now that boy had an epiphany. Webster's dictionary says that an epiphany is that sudden moment of understanding. It's that flash of light. An example that we're all familiar with of an epiphany is the woman in the TV commercial that says, I could have had a V8. She had an epiphany. She could have had a V8. I've seen the time when I would have loved to have had a V6 or a four-cylinder. But she could have had a V8. Or perhaps you've lost something. You've lost your keys. And suddenly you remember where you put them. Another definition of the word for epiphany from Webster's dictionary is the sudden appearance or the manifestation of a supernatural being. This would be like the appearance of the angel Gabriel when he appeared to Mary and Joseph and told them about the birth of Jesus. Now that was an epiphany. It would be so awesome to be talked to by an angel. But mainly, and for the emphasis today on Epiphany Sunday, we're going to speak for a few minutes about revealing of Christ as the Messiah. He wasn't just revealed to the wise men. This Lord and Savior that we celebrate His birth during Christmas time, during Advent, He was the light to the whole world. He didn't just shine to the wise men, but He shines for us today also. It's a time in the Christian calendar of events that it's always on January the 6th. It's 12 days after Christmas. And the symbol for Epiphany is light. This light marks the coming of the wise men and the coming of Christ, light and love into the world. It's a time to absorb the message of Christmas and to spread the light of God's love through Jesus. Epiphany celebrations are a good way to launch the new year. Phil mentioned a while ago about our outreach program. In our last outreach meeting, we discussed that we wanted everyone on the committee to be brainstorming and try to come up with new and different ideas to expand our outreach into the community. Our next meeting, like Phil said, will be on the 15th. And I don't want just the committee members to show up with bright ideas. Every one of you that has some idea of how that we can reach the lost with the light of God's love, please come to the meeting. Please come and share your ideas with us. Another example of an epiphany would be when God appears to someone. In Exodus, the 3rd chapter, verse 3, God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. In Daniel, the 3rd chapter, God appeared to King Nebuchadnezzar as the 4th man in the fiery furnace. God appears to us if we will open our hearts and our minds and our spiritual eyes to receive him. In our scripture today, it's from Isaiah, the 60th chapter, verses 1 through 5. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And in verse 5, when thou shalt see, then, I read that wrong, then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The glory of the Lord has arisen upon you. Who is the you in this passage of Scripture? Who is this passage of Scripture addressed to? According to the writings of Isaiah, it is addressed to Zion, which in its context is another name for Jerusalem. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3, says that God would make Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, a burdensome stone that the nations will stumble over. Now, if you turn on your news, what you see will not be an epiphany. What you see is a repeat of what you saw the day before. That old thorny issue of Jerusalem rises again. The Palestinians want Jerusalem. The Islamic people want Jerusalem. And the Jewish people obviously see that Jerusalem is their capital, although many other people do not recognize that. Nations have fought over Jerusalem for centuries. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 24, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Well, Isaiah in his writing in our scripture today saw a time when that would all be in the past. Isaiah saw a time when Jerusalem would shine like new money. Why? Because the glory of the Lord would rise upon it. The Lord himself would be the light in Jerusalem. The Israelite people were enduring a darkness. They were just encompassed with both a physical and a spiritual darkness. And during this darkness, they were constantly awaiting the advent of the Messiah. We today believe that 2,000 years ago, in His love, that God shined His light, His holy light, on the earth as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. The Son of God was born into the world of darkness, and He brought a glorious light of God to all of His people. In studying for the message today, I looked at numerous scriptures and numerous references, and I found a passage that says that there are at least 154 times in the Old and the New Testament where people were instructed to arise. I remember as a kid my grandma coming into my bedroom, "All right, girl, rise and shine." And I can remember thinking, I may rise, but I don't know about that shine part. Because it takes me a little bit in the mornings to kind of get motivated. If that didn't work, finally she'd come in and says, "All right, I told you to get up. I'm not telling you anymore." Well, I knew then that my feet were supposed to hit the floor. But Isaiah's telling the people, okay, rise and shine. It's time to get up and do something. When I looked at them, I saw that not only were they instructed to rise, but they were given instructions about what they were supposed to do after they got up. Any of you that have been told to rise and shine, you were told, all right, get up, get ready for breakfast, get ready for school, get ready for work, get up, do something. The children of Israel were told to arise and shine. Most of the time they were told to arise and go. Go over the Jordan River. Arise, for the Lord has delivered you. And my favorite scripture is the one in our text today. Rise and shine, for thy light has come. In order that to have an epiphany, you have to do something or be changed in some way. You could have had the V8. You would find your keys to the car that you'd been looking for an hour. Or you would have an understanding of something that you didn't understand before. You had that epiphany. You might see more clearly what your ministry for Jesus Christ is today. In Matthew chapter 2, the star or the light appeared to the wise men, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them, and it stopped over the place where the child was. It was something that the wise men needed. They needed that guiding light. They needed that star. They needed to follow that star in order to find Christ. There's a light shining for us today. And all we have to do is to follow that light of the good news of Jesus Christ and come to Him. We have established that we have to take action or arise. The second thing is to shine. It doesn't take an epiphany to make us realize that if we aren't doing anything, we won't be shining anyway. I mean, how plain is that? If you're not doing anything, you won't be shining. There were 58 times in the Bible where we were instructed to shine. But there's also something between the point where we arise and the shining point that we need to do. We have to invite the Lord of light. into our hearts. We have to say, Lord, come into my life and make me to be the person that you want me to be. We have to repent of our sins and thereby prepare a place for this light of heaven to dwell. We must allow the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse away all of the darkness and all of the doubt and all of the fears that come into our life. Matthew 5:16 tells us, let your light so shine before men. Our hearts have to be prepared today for that light. I like to think of it as preparing a garden plot. Every spring, many people get out and they plow up their garden. And after watching Daniel do this for 40-something years, I finally figured out, I had an epiphany. I finally figured out what he was doing. He was preparing the soil so that newly sown seeds could take root and could grow. He was out there, he was plowing up all of the roots and the weeds and the sometimes snakes that would stop our garden from growing. If you're going to have a garden that is going to bloom and blossom and shine, our spiritual garden has to be prepared just like the one in the soil has to be prepared. You know, Jesus does the same thing to the garden of our souls. He removes all of the stuff, the weeds and the roots and the snakes of evil. He removes all of the stuff that would keep his eternal light from shining through us. The greatest epiphany today that any of us can have is for us to rise and shine. As we prepare our hearts today to partake of Holy Communion, allow this cleansing blood of our Savior, this child of heavenly light, to purge our hearts, to cleanse us, to clean our hearts and our minds from all of the stuff that would hinder us from rising and shining. When we make a total commitment to Christ, others will see the light of Christ in us and will be drawn to Him.